Save the Semantics, episode 254. It is April 10th, 2024. My name is Myro. This is the podcast where I talk about basketball. This is the premier NBA podcast where you're only going to hear the craziest, most advanced stats you've never even heard before. I'm in the books. I'm looking at StatMuse. I'm looking at, like, highlighted what references. NBA.com. I'm looking at all of these things. I'm looking at the numbers. I'm crazy, man. This is the last week of the regular season, leading up into the postseason starting next week. The last day of the NBA season is this Sunday, which is very exciting. And then I believe on Tuesday is when the play-in begins. I'm all in. I'm at this kind of like feverish point where I am very ready for the postseason to start. I am ready for playoff basketball. I've been clamoring it for it like for a minute now, and it's right here, man. It's a similar feel to how I felt when the beginning of the regular season started, or rather when the preseason started, and I was just like waiting for just like the regular season to start up. I was watching preseason basketball, and I was like, dude, I'm so ready, man. I'm so ready for this. I was like anxious. I was like biting my fingernails and stuff. That's just kind of, that's kind of the feeling right now, is I'm just waiting in anticipation for, like meaningful basketball. I'm not saying there are actually is going to be quite some meaningful games coming up. There's some very important games that are being played today, being played right now, that I'll maybe talk about a little bit. We had a crazy slate of games last night, that had impact on playoff standings and all of that. But these next, like, you know, there's like three games remaining more or less each for all of the teams remaining. So for a lot of those teams, the games are gonna matter in regards to their standings and whatnot. Games in which that it will determine whether they're gonna be in the play-in or if they're gonna secure a sixth seed onward. Very important. So it's gonna be fun, man. I'm sort of as a Warriors fan, I'm kind of in the headspace, like I've already kind of mentioned numerous times. I'm kind of in the headspace where I have kind of accepted, well, I mean, we are more likely than not to just remain in the play-in by some stroke of luck. You know, the teams that are sort of peripheral to us in the standings all just happen to lose. At the same time, there is a very small possibility that we may be able to get up to the sixth seed. But it's very, I'm not counting on that. I'm gonna go into anticipating that we will have to at least play two play-in games. So either in the 9 or 10 position. If we can somehow get to the 9th position by passing the Lakers, that would be awesome. That would be ideal. We beat them last night in a very, you know, in very convincing fashion, but they also didn't have Anthony Davis, which is a huge factor. So his inclusion in the game for the Lakers would be would kind of determine, would essentially give a lot of weight to the results of the game. So I don't, you know, we did play really well. We almost made like a record of number of threes. I think it was like 26, 27 threes in a game. The record was 29 set by the Bucks. I think I forgot if it was last year or in the last few years. I was happy with that result. We've been kind of stringing together a nice streak going. I guess you could, if for someone who is very optimistic, it's good that they're sort of coming together at the right time, right before the postseason is about to kick off. So that is very encouraging for sure. But again, I am once again sort of accepting the fact that we're going to be in the play-in. So that's kind of where the team is going to have to kind of control their destiny going forward. We'll see how it goes, man. Regardless of all that, I'm excited to see kind of what's coming up next. Let's talk a little bit about, the sort of the playoff positioning in the Western Conference, because that's more relevant to, the Warriors side of things. Again, there's still a lot of things that are kind of up in the air. Tonight, the Timberwolves and the Nuggets are going to play. It's going to be one of the determining facts, because they're sort of neck and neck right now. I think Minnesota currently holds the tiebreaker over Denver, but this could still kind of affect, like, if Denver wins, they'll get the one seed, and so a lot at stake in that sense, right? Like, you could argue, like, if you're in that type of position of, you know, first or second seed, like, how important is it for you to be able to hold on to that position? Sort of assuming, like, if you're the Nuggets, like, does it matter if the Timberwolves, say they somehow get into Western Conference Finals with Minnesota, does it matter to them if they don't have home court advantage? I don't know. But, like, in the earlier rounds and the first and second rounds, it's probably not going to be as important to them. I think in Minnesota's case, it also could potentially depend. I mean, they've already, like, secured a spot. They've already secured a home court, at least for the first two rounds, like, the first, like, couple rounds, right? But I guess that we will kind of see how that goes. It'll be interesting how that kind of all turns out. But I think that having home court advantage in it can be important, but I think in Denver's case it can maybe be, you know, I don't know how much weight they would put on that. The Thunder are about a game behind both the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. So it's going to be kind of hard, but there's still a chance for them to be able to move up into at least like a second seed, I believe. So that's still up in the air. I think more or less the Clippers have basically secured the fourth seed. There's a two-game break between them and the Mavericks. The Mavericks are also clinched, so that 4-5 matchup is essentially already solidified. It's so funny that it had to be like the Clippers and the Mavs, like that that playoff matchup we've seen just so many times over the years, like in the recent years. Like, it's just like, oh my god, here we go again, man. These two teams is going at it again. It's like, it's clockwork, you know what I mean? But I mean, it could be, I think it'll be a, it, we've seen it before, but the Mavericks do have, I mean, both teams, you could argue, kind of have a pretty different roster. So we'll see how they each kind of hold up against each other. The Mavericks, I think, greatly improved their roster by adding PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford, some pretty solid role players. And of course, like, the Clippers had, you know, James Harden. So I don't really what to expect with that matchup, but it'll be interesting to see. And then afterwards, 6 through, you could argue 10, it's a complete dumpster fire of, like, positioning. The Pelicans, who are currently in the 6th seed, they do have, I think it's like a one game separation between them and the Suns for the 7th seed. So they have a little bit of a buffer, but that could change. It's not guaranteed by any means, right? And then 7 through 10, it's just flipping every single day, every single game. Currently, right now, the standings stands the Suns, the Kings, the Lakers, and then the Warriors. I believe the Warriors overcame the Lakers. I need to double check that. But those four teams, all in the Pacific Division, mind you, all are in the play-in mix. So that's going to be interesting to kind of see how that all develops. I really think the best kind of way moving forward is going to be for the Warriors to be able to secure I think if we are able to get into an 8th seed position, that would be good too, because then it's just a single game elimination. You win and then you just advance, right? You don't have to go through the two-step. So if we can somehow sneak into the 8th seed or even the 7th seed, that would probably, you know, that would be, out of all of the odds, that would be very beneficial for sure. It's difficult to go through kind of the two-step of, you know, being the 9th seed, winning that, and going into the 2nd seed because you're, you know, you have home court in one situation and then you won't have it in the other. It would be, if we were the 10th seed, that would be the most difficult road, essentially, because we would need to win two games on the road to get into the playoffs. That's a lot. That's asking quite a lot for this, you know. I think that they can do it. It's just, you know, it's still going to be very difficult. So I would prefer to be able to secure this playoff position after one game instead of playing two. The West is crazy. I've already mentioned this. You already know this. Let's take a look at the Eastern Conference because it is also pretty interesting over there. Like, Boston is by far ahead as the number one seed. It's not really close. But following them, I think it's like 2 through 4, it's still kind of in the mix. The Bucks won yesterday against the Celtics, but Giannis went out. Who knows how long he's going to be out? It doesn't seem like a super severe injury, but he is probably going to be out until the playoffs, as kind of reported. And following them, it's the Knicks, the Magic, and then the Cavs, all within like 0.5 or one game breaks. I feel the Knicks have a better position as the 3 seed. If they can secure that, that seems like a pretty nice, you know, I like, obviously for them, Julius Randle is out, which is a huge hit to them. But considering just, I think their performance as of late has shown that they can kind of really be a formidable team. I think that I've been hearing just like out of discussions and stuff, that it would be ideal to avoid Philadelphia in the first round, presuming that they would be the 7th or 8th seed. So that's, I think, gonna be, it's gonna be, what will kind of the teams that are sort of the upper seeds, you know, try to do? Are they gonna try to finagle themselves, sit out players, so they essentially avoid Embiid in the first round? It'll be interesting to see, right? Does Milwaukee just rest their players? I mean, considering that Giannis is out, it's like, are they okay falling to 3 or even 4 at this point, so they can just, you know, essentially kind of put themselves, like, they've already been imploding pretty as of late. So, I mean, maybe they just need to regroup and give the, I feel they've been incredibly lackluster for the recent couple of weeks. They've had some horrible losses against some of the worst teams in the league. So there's a lot of doubts about their team. I also doubt them pretty heavily. Like, I don't know if this whole Dame Giannis pairing really is working out this season. So I mean, maybe they should just rest their stars before going into the playoffs. I mean, consider, you know, especially Giannis, who's currently injured. But would it be more, you know, when they won the championship, they were the 3 seed. So would it be better if they maybe just rested, you know, and fell down and let the Knicks take the 2nd seed? Like, I don't know. But a lot of mix up there. The kind of lower half of the bracket right now, I believe, are the Pacers, the Heat, Sixers. Am I missing someone? I mean, there's the Bulls and the Hawks that are in the play-in. They've secured a play-in position. I feel like I'm missing a team. How many? Okay, let me see. Because there's... Let me start from the top. I feel like I have to do this. I could just look it up. Why don't I just look it up? I just like to do this thing to just, like, retain memory and all that stuff. But, let's take a look at the East standings right now, because I feel like I can't really remember it. Okay, so number 1, Boston. 2, Milwaukee. 3, New York. 4, Orlando. 5, Cleveland. 6, Indiana. 7, Philadelphia. 8, Miami. 9, Chicago. And then 10, Atlanta. So I pretty much got it, right? I think I mentioned Cleveland before. So just looking at these standings right now, there is a cluster with Orlando through Indiana, where it is possible for Indiana to potentially jump up and Cleveland or Orlando to fall down. There is like a 1-game separation between Indiana and Philly, between the 6th and 7th seed. So I think it's more or less given that Philly is going to be in the first, or rather they're going to be in the play-in. So yeah, I think that's sort of where the discussion regarding, you know, teams that are the 2nd seed trying to avoid Philadelphia is sort of an interesting conundrum. Yeah, I've been really just entangled in just like standings and just like playoff positioning and everything like that, playoff matchups, and, you know, the decision making between what would be the most, what would be like the best sort of, you know, best matchup for sure, and then just kind of the best approach if you're looking at it from sort of a long term. You know, if you're like strategizing out the roadmap for how your playoff, you know, how your playoffs are going to go, it's kind of interesting to look at that. I don't know how much that really, you know, takes, I don't know how much teams or whatever take that into account necessarily, right? I think some teams are just going to try to win as best as they can. I think that's sort of the, that, you know, I mean, that's really, that's the objective, right? You want to win as many games as possible so that you can get a higher seeding. You're not, regardless of, you know, matchup favorability, you just want to try to do the best you can to, in order to win and everything like that, and to secure a playoff position. I've been, during work, I have just been listening to basketball stuff, just basketball stuff. That's just where I'm at right now, just in that mindset. I'm like, all right, so this player and this player, their impact, like, I'm a little crazy right now. I'm a little sicko. Maybe because it's like me being tired in my delirium, and then just like the fact that this sort of like excitement for like really, you know, very intense basketball is like creeping up. Like, a combination of all of that is making me kind of a little loopy. But I'm happy. So that's all that matters right now. But I've just been consuming just basketball content. I've been listening to team podcasts. I've been listening to just like, you know, just overview podcasts. I've been listening to, I don't know, just jumping around around the league. You know what I mean? Listening to, you know, other teams' podcasts and all that stuff. I'm in that mode right now. I'm in that mode. Just kind of a little, you know, I guess, explanation of sort of how the media landscape of, I guess, at least like in terms of the content that I listen to. I don't listen to like ESPN stuff, really. I don't listen to, you know, major national media coverage. I like to get into the nitty-gritty. I like to listen to, you know, beat reporters for individual teams. I like to listen to team podcasts. There's a major, I don't know if it's like super major, but there's a podcast network called Locked On, and they essentially designate each team to have their own kind of podcast channel. So they have things like, I don't know, Locked On Warriors, Locked On Lakers, Locked On, you know, Clippers, all that. Every team has their own designated podcast. I've noticed for the larger market teams, such as Los Angeles, New York, you know, I guess you get to say like Chicago, Boston, whatever, they have those podcasts, but they also have, there's a lot more variety. There's more different types of podcasts where it's like independently run, and that sort of thing. I found those to be more interesting, in my opinion. That isn't just like slight, you know, whatever, the Locked On network or whatever. There's still some really good reporting done. I found some really interesting kind of like communities in these maybe smaller networks, if you want to call it them, these channels that are like highly specific for like the individual teams. I think you get some really good analysis of teams. I think they have a better perception of their team. Like, you'll hear things that you wouldn't even have thought about, or players that you really don't care about, you know. I found myself getting really caught up on just like listening to coverage on the Knicks specifically, just because they've had a very interesting season. They've probably had the most they've had the most interesting season, in my opinion, across kind of the board, in the NBA, just like based on, you know, their injury history, and then the sort of the preseason expectation of where they would be, and the fact that they've been able to get into a higher level seed, despite injuries to Randall and earlier on, OG Ananobi, I think is very impressive. I think they have a very interesting team, led of course by Tom Thibodeau. And I think their style of play is very like clear. It's like it's the there's like a I don't know there, you get like the you know what kind of team they are, just like very grinded out, hard nosed. We saw that when the Warriors played them in San Francisco, we got to kind of see that. That was a very tough matchup. We did get they did get the win against them, in New York at Madison Square Garden. But you still like you I don't know, I respect kind of that play. They also have some they have a lot of interesting players, that I think are very good role players, very good complementary players. And then you see this almost kind of you could argue maybe possible kind of like superstardom rise from Jalen Brunson, I think has been really something to watch. I watched him score 60 against the Spurs in a loss, right? I mean, that was a great game against, Wemby had like a 40-point triple double, in overtime. But Brunson has been a very he because just because of his size and just his physical limitation, the fact that he's able to put up these insane stat lines and is able to create in so many different ways, I think is very it's just very it's just really impressive to watch. I feel that this is really kind of his team now. Before you could, kind of argue it was Julius Randle's and whatnot, but I think that he it feels like he really just kind of took control, and is the very much the leader of this team. And so I've been kind of keeping up, just I just kind of I don't really know exactly why I've caught on to the Knicks specifically, but I think I don't know. I've always kind of like enjoyed the Knicks. They're sort of like a secondary team that I've enjoyed watching outside of my Warriors. They're just one of those teams. I think probably due to maybe some just relations in the past due to David Lee trade way back in the day, of course Linsanity. I think those things kind of factor to why I've, maybe watched them, just in the past, and currently. They're just like one of those teams that I've sort of, it just kind of watch. And this year specifically, because of, the kind of the success that they've been able to sustain despite the obstacles they've come across, I think is very commendable. I think it's kind of dope to watch. So, and then also, I guess like another thing with like an Eastern team is like I don't have any really. It's like unless we somehow meet them in the finals, which is not gonna happen. I think there's it's sort of low stakes to put, to put a lot of stock into a team that you are unlikely to face. In any kind of like in the postseason, right? So you're able to kind of root for them a little bit too. So I think that's kind of fun. Eastern Conference teams way easier to root for than Western Conference teams, obviously, for obvious reasons. So I hope that they I don't know how far that they'll be able to get without Julius Randle. He is a very important piece to that team. But I think that, if they can somehow, continue to have this level of cohesion where they're able to, be a very strong defensive team and, And Brunson is able to kind of continue to produce at his level, or maybe take it to even another level. Like I'm very just kind of interested in seeing how that goes. What was my point? Where did I even start with that? New York. Yeah, that's kind of one of the teams that I've been following. I think there's also on the Eastern Conference side of things. It really kind of feels like Boston versus everybody, right? I think that Boston is like beatable. It's just going to be very difficult for most teams to be able to combat against Boston. I think like the current favorites right now for final odds favorites are Nuggets and Celtics, which was pretty much the same thing last year too, I believe, right? No, it was like Bucks, Nuggets, and then, you know, the Bucks kind of shit the bed in the first round. So, I mean, they might shit the bed this year too, so we'll see. But I mean, right now I think the title odds favorites are the Bucks or the Celtics and the Nuggets. So it'll be I think that, you know, it that makes the most sense. You got the reigning champs, and then you got this juggernaut of a team in Boston, and I think that as the playoffs commence and we kind of see, you know, how teams look in general in playoff settings, I think we can get a good gauge on, you know, how well they may potentially match up against, you know, the top seeds. But I guess that's something that will kind of remain to be seen. But I don't know, man. I'm really rearing. I'm really just like getting in like a, you know, kind of headspace of like, okay, these last few games, I'm like paying attention to other games outside of, you know, the Warriors ones. Like yesterday was a bit wild. The Sunday slew of games, the final day of the regular season is going to be crazy, because I'm pretty sure all 30 teams are going to play, and all the tip-off times are like 10 o'clock and 12:30. It's like, why? I don't know why those are the tip-off times. Is there like some other thing going on Sunday, like that I don't know about? Like, is there like a Kentucky Derby or something like that? Like, I don't know. Like, why? There's no Super Bowl. Like, I don't know why all these games are so early. Like, it's so weird. Is it maybe just because, I don't know, it's such an interesting choice that they're all in the morning. I mean, you know, morning, afternoon, at noon. It's kind of strange. But I don't know. Maybe it's sort of like a way for the league to give the players rest before the play-ins begin in a couple of days. I don't know. I have no idea. It's a very interesting choice. But yet yesterday, ton of games. Essentially, almost all the teams, except maybe a couple, played. So that's kind of it's crazy, because it's like kind of hard to keep track of every result. But I like to be just kind of like tuned in. So like late last night, I was just kind of like refreshing, and like I was able to catch some, you know, parts of games and you know, see the results and whatnot. Today's slate of games is a little less crazy. I think there's maybe like 6-7-ish games. But then on Thursday, we're back up. We're picking it back up. There's going to be a whole nother set of games then. So we're in the stretch. We're in the final stretch. I am in this kind of mode right now, where I'm just like listening. I'm interested in hearing what other people are saying about their own teams, what they have doubts about, you know. Why do you want to avoid potentially playing Philadelphia in the first round? You don't think you can handle it? Like, what, you know, do you want to try to stay in the third sea. Like, these are all things that, I don't know, is interesting to me. And I enjoy listening to them. So a lot more basketball is coming up. I'm trying to think. I think that I might record something on, let's see. Oh man, I don't want to record too early because I feel like I'm going to be repeating a lot of the same things. So I'm going to most likely record something after all of Sunday's games, maybe Sunday, I don't know, Sunday evening, Sunday night, whatever. That's my plan, is that I'm going to put something out, or maybe even Monday. We'll see. I'll see how I feel. I might do Monday. I know it's a little blasphemous to record this week's podcast on the following week, but look, Sunday is also technically next week too. So listen, don't kill me. All right. It's a little shift in the schedule, but that's kind of what I'm feeling. I feel, I'll see how I feel. It might be Sunday or Monday, but after the regular season has been completed, after all the games are finished, after the standings are finally solidified, I will listen. I will take a look, or rather, I will discuss the results and my expectations going into the play-in tournament, because I would like to talk about that as well. It's an exciting time, man. It's a good time to be a basketball fan. It's a good time to be an NBA fan. So, yeah, that is my plan. Just wanted to get some quick pre crazy remaining rest of the schedule, little pod, little discussion out. And then I will catch back up, with Sunday, Monday, whatever. We'll see how that goes, and, talk more then. Alrighty, recording this on April 14th, 2024. It is a late Sunday afternoon. You know what that means. The NBA season has been completed, and we are officially now in the postseason. Very exciting stuff. Today was sort of anticlimactic, to be a little honest. The results are kind of just like, okay, all right, for sure. So I'm happy that we finally know what the matchups are going to be. We finally have an inkling of how everything is going to pan out. So it'll be interesting to see how it is. But overall, let's just talk before we get into all of the matchups and the predictions or whatever, because there's a lot to go over. And honestly, I'm probably not going to go over everything today because there's so much to talk about. But I think overall this season, you know, from a Warriors perspective, sure, disappointing, whatever. I feel like I have to reiterate myself every time. I was not someone who had very high expectations to begin with. So essentially where we ended up is where I kind of expected us to be. However, I think overall there were some really, just across the league, not just from the perspective of my Warriors, I think it's been a really exciting season. I think there's been a lot of really great moments, a lot of just incredible individual performances, a lot of players really just jumped up in terms of their abilities and what they've been able to showcase and all these things. There's been a lot of teams that have really, new kind of teams that have really come into the foreplay, and then kind of it could potentially make some noise, if any, during the playoffs, and that's exciting. That's something that I will try to touch on today. But overall, I think it's been really exciting. The fact that we made it to the very last game of the season, and there were still things up in the air. There were things that were not established at all. Seeding came down to the very last day of the regular season. I think is pretty, I feel that's pretty rare, you know? Like, it, just so much of it too. Like, I there are instances where there's been some games where they have mattered more than others, but this time around, it feels much more. There's just there feels there to be a much more importance, just because of how many teams are kind of in the fold and everything like that. How almost every game mattered, which is kind of crazy, or maybe that's a little hyperbolic, but a lot of the games today mattered. And so I think that you could say is a testament to the implementation of the in-season tournament. Just the fact that we have an even more competitive league than we ever had, right? Maybe you could point to teams like the Bulls or the Hawks who sort of play in a very middling fashion, and you could argue that it potentially incentivizes certain owners and certain management to be complacent. That's a whole nother conversation, but you could argue that that's a case where or teams would maybe just stay in the middle to sort of be semi-competitive versus being, you know, going through the process of, say, a rebuild or whatever, right? So I think that regardless of that, the Bulls and the Hawks, they may not be great teams, but there is still a lot of talent. Like for example, today the I watched. I'm really happy that I caught pretty much a good chunk of this game. But the Hawks, excuse me, the Bulls and the Knicks game was great. That was a really fun, like kind of end, just like a you know end. Essentially just like a send off for the regular season, because it's essentially determined that the Knicks were able to get a second seed. For the Bulls, they were already in the play-in, but they still made things competitive. I think it was still a really fun game, and I'm glad that I caught that, because some of the other games were not very competitive. But I'm very happy that I was able to catch a good chunk of it, including the overtime period. Again, regardless of just some of these teams that are not as good, I still think that there is still an incentive for teams to just be better in general. And I think that is good. I think that's really good for the league. It makes games more exciting. It allows more there to be more competitive type of plays, right? I've already kind of talked about my feelings with the play-in tournament, but I think it's given us a lot of really, it's given us some good moments for sure. And I think that if it gives some teams that are maybe not as great as some others, a chance to potentially be in playoff contention, I think that's cool, man. And then that could potentially give some direction to that team, in terms of how they want to proceed, if you want to, say that. So I think there's a lot in play, and I think we're in a really exciting period, with just basketball in general. And we got the play-in in a couple we got the first play-in games in a couple of days. So that's something to look forward to. Today's sort of like, the day off, and then Tuesday we start up, man. Let's talk about just like the overall standings. So in the East, you got Boston, New York, Milwaukee, Cleveland, Indiana. I'm trying to remember these off the top of my head. Yeah, Orlando, Indiana, Philadelphia, Miami, Chicago, and Atlanta. So let's talk about the East a little bit first. One thing I want to start off with, I think these are kind of the stories that I enjoy watching, the ones that I think are exciting. I like seeing the new and upcoming teams get a chance to be in competitive games. And I'm talking about the Orlando Magic in this case. They really took care of business today, handling the Milwaukee Bucks, and that essentially that win basically confirmed them a playoff position. I think that really is, you know, because Milwaukee, like a week ago or something like that, essentially they lost in a kind of a significant manner, and then they came back and were able to essentially do the same thing to the Bucks that the Bucks did to them earlier, and now they've put themselves in a position to actually compete in the playoffs and not just have to go through the play-in. That 4-5 matchup between Cleveland and Orlando is very interesting. I know that I've seen people joke about how, oh, this is going to be the NBA TV series because, you know, you don't have as many, you know, highlight type level players or whatever. But I'm very interested. I've been following the Magic pretty much all season just because I've been really interested in seeing their development. I think it's really cool that they've been able to get to this position so far, considering how young their roster is. Like, Paolo Banchero is only 21. Crazy. He's super young, and he's shown to be a very impressive player at his age. And then just the rest of the supporting cast is super young. You got, like, just people in their 20s and stuff. Like, the oldest player is Joe Ingles, who's, you know, like 30 something, like 30, like 40, almost 40. So you got like that one vet, and then everybody else is still young. I think it's really exciting because I know that Orlando has been, the last time they were in a playoff situation was in 2017, 2018, I believe. But that was the very last time, and it's been a long time, man. 2017, 18. That was like 6-7 years ago at this point, which is quite a lot considering just the passage of time, man. The things, dude, this bird is so loud. let me pause for a second. Anyways, so Orlando has had a lot of struggles, and even with their kind of playoff berth, I believe they got swept. I'm not entirely sure. Maybe they won one game, but it's been a while. I don't quite remember that series. But I mean, since, like, you know, the Dwight Howard years, they haven't had much success. And so I think that's awesome. I talked about how it was exciting to see a franchise like the Detroit Lions get to a position of, you know, playoff contention when they haven't been able to in many, many years. And I feel similarly in a sense about the Magic. And I think that's really, it's really exciting. They got a really bright future ahead of them. I think that they're, you know, I don't think they're going to make it very far to be, you know, they don't have the offense really to be able to sustain a long extended playoff run. But I think this is a really good way for them to develop and to, you know, get, you know, essentially get experience under their belt so that when they do improve the roster in the future moving forward, this can be something that can be pointed out towards as sort of like a stepping stone for their development. I think it's very important. I'm looking forward to seeing what they're able to do. I think that matchup bodes pretty well for them, just considering the play styles of both of the teams. I feel, you know, you could kind of give a bit of an edge to Cleveland in a sense, but they're so shaky. I don't trust that team to be able to, you know, I think they, you know, they're not a very strong opponent. Cleveland isn't. And then, you know, if you take into consideration last year's series against the Knicks, I think that it's just, there's not, it doesn't really give you confidence in terms of their ability. Like, yes, they were a top four seed, but just, you know, the performances they've had recently, they did beat Indiana in order to, you know, claim a playoff position, but they lost today. I didn't watch the game, but they essentially, based on what I was reading and kind of the post-game discussion threads, they essentially tanked the end of the game in order to get a more favorable matchup. And I've never, like, you just gotta play who you gotta play. You know what I mean? Like, if you're playing those types of games at the very, like, I understand, sure, like, maybe that could have been the correct decision. Like, of course they match up better, like, against Orlando versus someone like the Sixers or whatever. But I mean, they might have matched up against the Pacers, and that could have also been a favorable matchup too. So the fact that they tanked it away is like, I don't, because you know, if they won, they would have gotten the 3 seed. Milwaukee would have gotten the 4th seed, and Milwaukee would have played Orlando, and then Cleveland would have played the Pacers in this situation. So it's like, okay, I don't understand that perspective if you're going that route, because you don't have, now you don't have set, you know, you don't have home court advantage going into the second round. Like, sure, maybe you have it in the first round, but then you don't have it in the second round. Like, I just don't under, like, if you, all things considered, that doesn't, what, like, it's just a bad decision. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that they just kind of gave up. I didn't watch, again, this is me basing off of what I read and stuff, but it seemed pretty obvious what they did. That's just not a good look, man. That doesn't instill confidence in your fan base. Does that really instill confidence in, you know, the players? Like, it's just like, okay, we're going to tank this so we can get a favorable, more favorable matchup, or we're essentially avoiding the less favorable matchup, which in this case was still, like, somewhat favorable. Like, the end result, it's like, kind of, you're in the same ballpark, but now you're a lower seed, so you don't get home court advantage going into the second round if you do get out of the first round. So I don't, that's a bad look. And you lost at home in the very last game against the Hornets. For what? So you don't, maybe you don't get to play the Sixers? Like, I just don't understand that at all. And it's like, okay, so if you do, I'm trying to remember, like, the matchup, and I maybe I'll look it up. I'll look it up a little later. But it's like, their reasoning is, like, essentially to get into a better position, and now you're not really in a better position at all. So it's not, that's just not good. And you lose at home, too, before you go into the playoffs. That's not a good look. Intentionally losing. So it's like, okay, so that makes it seem like you're really ducking someone. It's like, okay, who are you ducking? Are you ducking the Sixers? Are you ducking the Heat? Like, what, like, you could still, you'd still try to beat those two teams. Like, if you somehow got into, like, a second seed, if, like, the Knicks and the Bucks both lost, right? I think that's what the match scenario would have been. So it's just, I've been ranting about Cleveland for a bit, but it's just like, all of these, like, things about them being soft and all of these things, just considering what happened last year against the Knicks and getting upset in that first round, these things add up. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. So I have no faith for the Cavs, really. I look, I think they could potentially beat Orlando, but it just, you know what I mean? It's just not great. They're not going to have sustained success. Maybe I'll eat my words and maybe this strategy somehow works out, but nothing has shown me at all that anybody's going to fear this team. And then you got this team in Orlando who is young, who's willing to prove that they can be, you know, a force in the East in the coming years. You really want to face up against that? Like, after all of these claims about not being able to be, you know, just coming, getting up for the challenge, it's just not, it's not good, man. It's hard to say because my thoughts might change over the course of this week and, you know, maybe listening to like some podcasts, reading up on some things. Maybe I'll have more faith or whatever that Cleveland could potentially have some kind of run, but there's too many red flags, way too many. Am I being a little hyperbolic with how they handled the last game of the season? And then also the fact that I didn't really watch the game, but just based on accounts from people who have seen it, like, does it seem like, doesn't it kind of like show that they're not, that they just don't, they're not it at all, right? I just, like, maybe if I find out the matchups and Donovan Mitchell is going to have an incredible series or whatever, but a lot of it is mental. And I out of all of the results from today, that one baffled me the most, honestly. Like, that one just, like, was like, why would they do that? And then, like, on the other side, you have a team like New York, who had a very exciting game against Chicago. And shout out to Chicago too, man. They were playing, you know, DeRozan, Caruso, Vucevic, Kobe White. They were playing their starters. Like, I think, you know, regardless of maybe if they should have rested their players or whatever. I mean, look, man, it was a good game. Like, it was a good game, exciting atmosphere and MSG, good stuff, man. So I don't have, as a neutral fan, I don't really have a whole lot of complaints. Maybe Chicago fans are like, why would they do that? Why didn't they just rest their, like, who cares? This has no effect on our seating. We're already in the ninth seed. But look, man, it was a good game, and it was exciting. But, you know, you take the Cleveland approach of things versus the New York approach of things of actually just going out and winning your game. Like, that's just it. You know what I mean? Like, you go out and you win your game so you can get a higher seed. So essentially, if you are able to get into an Eastern Conference, like, if things line up, if you're able to get past the first and second round and get into the conference finals with most likely the Boston Celtics, you have home court advantage for the majority of the playoffs. Like, the first round may be very difficult against Philadelphia, but you're not dodging teams. You're not shying away from the competition, right? And I think that's admirable. I think that's really admirable. And this is important too. This is the important thing. I've been saying instilling confidence and whatever a lot, but it shows, like, your fans that they care and that they're willing to go up against the challenge. Like, they're willing to be like, hey, listen, we know that Philly or Miami, more, you know, Philly's the more dangerous opponent in this scenario, we're willing to match up against them, and we're willing to put ourselves in a better position for longevity of this playoff run, right? And I think that ultimately it's like you just want to win. And this is the final game of the season. And like, sure, you already secured a playoff position. And you could have just let it go. And you could have like potentially fallen down to third. And that could have been a more favorable matchup for this team. But you gotta eventually face up against the best of the best. So it's like, okay, like if you get out of the first round, you're still gonna have a potentially difficult matchup in the next coming rounds, and you will have to face up against the Celtics, like if you get through all of that, right? So it's like that's just what it is. Like that's just what it is. And so I think, I don't know, I admire that. I think that, you know, I talked about the Knicks earlier this past week. I think that the way they're approaching things, and I know Tom Thibodeau can get a lot of criticisms regarding how he, you know, handles his rotations, whatever, and time management and that sort of thing. But look where they are. Like, look at the position they've put themselves into. And I think New York fans, another franchise, like I've mentioned, like Orlando, that has struggled in, you know, a while. Like, you know, last year they were able to get into two playoff rounds. But just historically, they've been a franchise that has not seen sustained success. I think that this is giving your fans something to cheer about, and I think that's really important. I think it's really important. Like, if you went, like, I'm sure if you were at MSG today watching that game, like, maybe in the back of your head you're like, oh, we gotta play against Embiid, but like, you're like, you know what, we can do this, right? Like, it's a good feeling to have as a fan, to be like, to want to cheer for your team because they're putting it all on the court. Like, that's very important. That's so much of sports, right? And so those two teams out of the East, really, I think I really liked how they took care of things today. I think that regardless, for Orlando's position, regardless of how far they make it, they have an incredibly bright future ahead of them. And I'm looking forward to seeing how they progress. There are changes that can definitely be made for sure, just like on the offensive side of things, but they got a really good thing going with their core, their coaching, their identity. They have a very clear identity. Ending the season off on a high note is good. I think is really good going into the postseason. So I wanted to give a shout out to those two teams because I know kind of I understand the struggles that both franchises have gone through for quite a long time, and for them to be able to get some level of success, I think is cool to see. So I wanted to just talk about those teams for a little bit. Among other teams in kind of the West, you know, I sort of touched upon Milwaukee a little bit, and they're facing off against the Magic. I feel this season is kind of a wash for Milwaukee a little bit. Just what a mess, right? Like, it's sort of probably very disappointing for fans. I mean, they're still the 3 seed, but I think a lot of people are going to favor Indiana in this matchup. Just their style of play, their regular season record against them. I think that if Giannis isn't expected to be back anytime soon, I could see how Indiana's favored, man. I think it makes a lot of sense. And I just, the age of Milwaukee, it feels sort of similar in a sense. Nah, it's a little different situation, but just the age thing, comparing them to with my Warriors, right? Two of the oldest teams in the league, both underperforming. It feels like a similar kind of, both, former championship pedigree teams, kind of not. I think Milwaukee's in a different situation, but it's sort of a similar feel. So, I don't have any faith in the Bucks to do anything, honestly, unless Giannis is able to conjure up some type of run, or if Dame somehow turns it on, but his play has not been impressive at all this season. So I just kind of am like, you know what? I don't expect much of them. In the case of Indiana, it'll be interesting to see how, their play translates to the postseason, because as sort of a common thing, the game can slow down a lot, right? And that can potentially favor teams that have more of a focus on, half court heavy offense instead of sort of the run and gun approach of Indiana. But I still think it could be really exciting, right? That could be they could just blow out like they could just like blow out Milwaukee if they're able to, get to a level where they just like run them off the court, right? So that could be something for them. Indiana also another team, that hasn't seen a ton of playoff, just a lot of any playoff berths in general over, a long period of time since, I think they were like the eighth seed, like back when it was like Sabonis and like Miles Turner with that backcourt. But I mean, since then it's been a long time, really since Paul George, that they've really had any, type of team going on. So good for them. I do enjoy watching them play, so it could be fun to see how they handle things. They got a good team, man. I mean, they do. It's just a matter of their defense isn't just not very good. That's a really important thing. So if they can't stop anybody, I mean, they're just gonna have to outshoot all the other teams. They scored 157 points today against the Hawks, which is crazy. That's just ludicrous. It's almost 160 points, almost 50 points in the first half or first quarter. I mean, that's just crazy. So I mean, they were just like shooting the lights out. And I think they beat the Hawks by like 40 plus points. So yeah, that's that. Other things in the Eastern Conference, I really want to just like focus on just like as much as I can on matchups and whatnot, the ones that are kind of already established. So the last two matchups, Knicks, it could be the Knicks versus the Sixers or the Heat, and or rather. Yes, it would be. It's either the Sixers versus the Heat, or excuse me, the play-in is going to be the Sixers and the Heat, and then Chicago versus Atlanta. Whoever wins the Sixers and the Heat are going to play against the Knicks. Whoever, and then whoever wins the matchup with the Chicago Hawks versus the other two teams. I don't like you know. I don't have any like it's either gonna be Sixers at 7 or 8 or Miami at 7 or 8. I don't no disrespect to the Bulls or the Hawks. They're not gonna be good. They're not gonna be good competitors for either New York or I mean they're not gonna be good competitors for Boston. I have no faith. So that's not going to be very interesting at all. So that's the East. There's going to be a lot to there's a lot to talk about with the West as well. Shout out to the Thunder for getting the first seed. Another young team that has very much so exceeded expectations, like vastly exceeded expectations. I think there's a lot of, you know, there's discussions about, you know, their youth and their inexperience and all of these things and how that could potentially contribute to early round upset. I feel that we're not giving, or rather they're not giving Oklahoma City enough credence in that regard, right? Like, sure, maybe the Lakers matchup, if they somehow get into an eighth seed position, may not be favorable for the Thunder because, you know, the size with Anthony Davis, and I get that, but they're good, man. They're good. I think they didn't get to 57 wins without having a really solid foundation, and a really good player with SGA. So I, yes, a lot of the teams in the lower bracket, are gonna have more experience potentially with, you know, could be, I don't know if I have a ton of faith with our Warriors to get out, but, you know, we could be like an eighth seed and people are gonna be going, okay, this could be, you know, something, and that could be something. I have talked about that, but they have kicked our ass this season, and I know it's a different situation with the playoffs and everything like that, and maybe I should have more faith in my own team, but listen, they got a lot of things. They're a problem. I think that they're gonna at least find a way to get out of the first round. I think that's sort of my belief. Exciting stuff. Listen, I don't, there's not the same level of expectation for them as a team like Denver, or, you know, Boston to get to the finals or whatever. But this could be a really good jumping off point for them. I mean, getting a first seed is, I would say, even more than a jumping off point. I think it's just like getting them to the next level and being a very dangerous team moving forward. So I'm excited to see how this team fares in playoff contention. I think they're going to be good, man. I feel I have more faith in that team than I do, say, like Minnesota, or I'm trying to think of like a youngish team. Minnesota, or I don't know. I can't really think of another example that of a team that's sort of in that kind of caliber, right? Because they have they have, like, their offense is more refined, and they have really strong pieces, and they have a very bright future ahead of them. Too. That sounds very generic, but I think out of a lot of the teams in the West, they have the brightest future, and they're already so far ahead of schedule, if you want to call it that. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited to see them. If we do face up against them, meaning, you know, the Warriors face up against them, let's give them hell, man. Let's give them hell. Let's see how they put up with that. But exciting stuff there. Denver managed to get the second seed. They're the team to beat. I don't know what else there's to say about Denver. I think that they're the most dangerous team in the West. They're the best team in the league. You could say, like, Boston, yes, they're the best team overall with the best overall record, but Denver's just the best team. They did blow a game against the Spurs on Friday, and that was a really fun game that I'm happy that I was able to catch. Essentially, the Spurs came all the way back from 23 down, and then Devontae Graham hit a game winner against them. Wembanyama was incredible. He had like 17 points in the third quarter. He had 17 points in 3 minutes. Something crazy like that. That was an awesome game. That was really awesome to watch. But I think it's Denver, man. It's Jokic, Jamal Murray. It's different, man. They're a different team. It's gonna be very difficult to beat that. Let me rattle off the full standings on the West, because I did that for the East. But the West is the Thunder, the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, the Clippers, the Mavericks, the Suns, the Pelicans, the Lakers, Kings, Warriors. Kings, Warriors going to be playing. I'll touch upon that. Minnesota had a very disappointing loss against the Suns today, and then they go up against them in a playoff series. So that's, you know, that's a little, that could be a bit of a problem for them. I think Phoenix probably has, like, they feel pretty good about this matchup, considering they essentially swept them in the season series. But I think the advantage of teams that are not the first or second seed is that they're able to, you know, they already know who the opponent is, so they have a week to workshop, look at footage, look at tape, and then just build a better game plan. I think if you're the first seed, the disadvantage of that is that you don't know who the opponent is until very, very late, so you just don't have as much time to prepare. And I think that could be a potential issue with this whole play-in system, is that it does benefit in a way for the first seed, but, you know, just being able to not, you know, compete and rest for a week, but you don't have, but you could say the same for for the teams that are 3 through 6, right? The first two, you know, like the first seed, they don't know until at the very end of the play-in tournament. That's sort of a disadvantage to them, right? Like Boston, doesn't really matter to them all that much who they get, right? It's like, okay, well, actually, if they get the Heat. Well, if they get the Heat, well, they got plenty of footage on them, right? But maybe not the best example. But, you know, if they get, like, if they somehow get Chicago or Atlanta, whatever. But still, they don't have the same amount of time to prepare as someone who is in the third or fourth or fifth or sixth seed, right? They just don't have that availability. They can't, like, look at all this, you know, footage and whatnot. So that's kind of, I think that's something to consider. So if you are Minnesota, like, it's not good. Like, it's not great. Definitely not the best way to end off the season. You still have home court advantage. It's still a 7-game series, playoff atmosphere and everything. I don't think they've proven, they haven't showed their best game with Phoenix. So I think that, that could be an interesting series for sure. I feel it's sort of a coin toss. I know that Minnesota is probably not feeling super great right now, but that's just sort of the case. You gotta exercise your demons, you know. You gotta go up against the thing that has affected you. If you want to be a championship caliber team, as others have noted, You're going to eventually go up against, listen, the Suns are not that great this year. They've underperformed, but they've gotten to a point in the last few games, against the Kings and then this game, that they could be a problem. They could potentially pose, maybe a thorn on the side of Denver, potentially. But if you're Minnesota, you gotta handle business, man. Like your goal isn't to get out of the first round, even though you haven't been able to get out of the first round in forever, right? You gotta aim for higher heights, especially if when you have a team with someone like Anthony Edwards. I don't think he's quite at that level yet. I know a lot of people are really touting him as this generational player, whatever. He's really good. He's had some awesome highlights this year. I don't think he's quite to the point where he can just take over games and take over series, whatever. He's still young too. He's still a very young player. So this could be another stepping stone. But I it's hard to see Minnesota being like that championship caliber team, considering their faults and whatnot and execution in offense. But we'll see. We will see. Another series that could be potential upset right there. Moving on to the Clippers and the Mavs. I think I already touched upon this, right? This is like they're going to be playing against each other for like the 100th time in 10 years. I think I've already kind of gone into it, but I'm somewhat like I'm someone who's kind of like I'm like a little over the matchup. I'm like, all right, here we go again. You got the Clippers, and then you got the Mavericks, and you got this whole thing again. I'm just kind of like Luka's really, like he's an incredible player and to watch. The matchup is just so it's just not interesting, man. Like I don't know, like it'll be. Like I'm sure it'll be fun to watch. I'm just tired of those two teams. I need a like a fr I just need a change of scenery. I want to see different matchups, different teams, whatnot. So it's just a little kind of like okay, here we go again. So I don't have much to say on that ground. And then you got the play-in matchups: Pelicans, Lakers, and then you got Kings of Warriors. I don't have much to say about New Orleans and the Lakers. Weren't they in the play-in last year too? Isn't this like the really like kind of the same matchup? So New Orleans could potentially like this is like an interesting one. I was talking about how it's not a good look. I'm gonna be completely contradicting myself a bit here. I know it's not a good look to dodge the favorable, the less favorable opponent. But if you are New Orleans and for some reason you can't beat the Lakers, you can't win at home, maybe you lose the first game. And then you win the second game. Well, you still technically are playing at home, aren't you? So you lose the first game, and then if you get a matchup against the Warriors and the Kings, who you've kicked their ass throughout, the season, then you get a better matchup. Instead of playing the Nuggets, you play the Thunder. Again, I still would favor the Thunder in that series, but it's better than Denver. You know what I mean? So I don't anticipate like I don't anticipate New Orleans. I think they've been kind of it's like okay, so you're able to beat the Warriors and the Kings, but for some reason you can't beat the Lakers. It's just kind of like disappointing, and it's just like matchup things. Like for some reason they just have such a favorable matchup against the Kings, but they cannot beat the Lakers for the life of them. That's sometimes it's just like a matchup thing, right? So maybe you just play into that. You're not going to have home court advantage anyway. So if you just somehow win a game against the Kings or the Warriors somehow, you'd probably want the Kings. Listen, I'll take... Look, I like our chances of... I mean, look, I don't have high expectations, but I feel decent. As a Warriors fan, I'm like... I think we could probably do it against either the Lakers or the Pelicans if one of those teams lose. From the New Orleans perspective, you lose game one, and then you win. You rest Zion and Brandon Ingram, and you're like, screw home court. I know this looks awful on us, but we're just terrible at home. We're going to win on the road. So we're going to get that eighth seed. That's what we're going to go for. We're going to play all of the reserves, and then we're going to rest the starters. And then we're going to try to get into the eighth seed. That's a huge gamble, obviously. That's a terrible way of going about it, I know, because I just talked about Cleveland and their approach and whatnot. I'm being a little ironic here for sure. It could be more beneficial for them. It could be better to somehow try to get into an eighth seed position. So be like, okay, I guess we're gonna try to play the Thunder instead of the Nuggets and you know, get out of the first round at least, right? So that could be something. Listen, New Orleans, look, For some reason, there's certain matchups that work for you guys and ones that really don't work for you. The Thunder one might work out. That might work out, and you're on the road. You had the best you had the best road record in the league this year. Look, show it. Show up, you know. That's my approach. That's my advice. If you're Willie Green. And if you're the Pelicans, you lose the first game, and then you try to win the second game. let's see. Finally, rounding it out. I've talked a lot, but there's so much to talk about. I've been sort of amped up about this whole week and everything like that, so I want to touch on as much as I can. I'm sure there's a lot that I'll be missing. I'll talk about more playoff stuff. I'll probably, my anticipation, I think I'll do like a little play-in preview before Tuesday's game. I don't know how much I'm gonna say. Maybe I'll do a little reaction thing after the first two play-in games on Tuesday, and then talk about it on Wednesday. But for the Kings Warriors, it's kind of poetic a little bit, right? Warriors eliminated the Kings in that 7-game series last year in the first round. This could be a way for them to get back at the Warriors. Or this could be a way for the Warriors to spoil things. So, it'll be interesting to see. They're playing in Sacramento. The Kings have not played well as of late. They've had some incredibly just baffling losses. I'm like, well, how did you... Like, they completely threw the game away against Phoenix, which would have secured them at least a 7 or 8 seed, I believe, right? Or maybe, I think... At least an eighth seed. And now they have to play 2 play-in games. So, not the best. Definitely not the best look. They've choked away losses. They haven't looked good against, you know, they got completely just, you know, blown out by the Pelicans. Like, not a lot of great things from this season. Unfortunately for them, they've lost like Malik Monk, who's a, you know, essentially like their sixth man. And so we'll see, man. Let's see how they handle the pressure. I want my Warriors to put together the best run that they can. I think, look, this could work out in a way. Like, if we can somehow get to the eighth seed and play against the Thunder, I think that it'll be a series. I don't have faith that we would be able to pull it out, but I think that's like a potential best way to get some progress in the playoffs. If we play Denver, it's just over. Like, it's just not going to happen. But if we can somehow get to the A seed, first round matchup against the Thunder, like I said, we'll give them hell. We got to beat the Kings first, and then we got to beat whoever the matchup is going to be against, the Pelicans or the Lakers. Both very tough. It's going to be a very difficult, very difficult trajectory. But anything is possible. Just give it the best. I think they will. I hope they give it the best shot that they can. Overall, it has been a very disappointing season. I've already mentioned that. I've had a lot of just frustrating moments with this team. You know, considering the capabilities that they have, the players that they have. And just so many moments of losing leads, blowing leads, and all of those losses. But despite that, I'm gonna cheer on. I'm just gonna enjoy what we have, 'cause this could be another one of those last seasons. This season, you know, if we can somehow squeeze together something. But next season is really, I don't know, man. There's a lot of things up in the air. There's talks about Clay and his extension. You know, there's talks about, you know, other players remaining on the team. Of course, Steph's gonna still be here, but they're an old team. They're an incredibly old team, and this could be this could be one of those last rides, last dance sort of situations. Maybe not as climatic or impressive as the Bulls' final, you know, championship run or whatever. But look, do the best. I hope they put everything on the floor. I hope that they do the best that they can. I think the effort will be evident. I just don't want them to go out in a disappointing fashion. I want it to be close. I want them to give it everything they have, because we really don't know. The West, like I said, is only going to get better. So this could be really one of the final windows we have to be able to be in, like, competition. So I want to see them do the best that they can, despite how much they're kind of up against. So, you know, if they lose against the Kings, or if they lose against in the second playing game, or if they lose in the first round of the playoffs, I just want to see them do the most they can, because I know they're not, because the time is limited. But I want to enjoy the last legs of this dynasty, if you want to call it that. I talked a lot of basketball, but there were a lot of things that I wanted to touch on. I thought there were some really impressive moments from certain teams that weren't my own, that came to sort of play in today's lineup of games. And we can finally say that we're in the postseason, and we can now look forward to play-in playoff competition. I'm excited to really get into that. There's a lot of interesting matchups like I've already talked about, and I can't wait to talk about, all these other, I can't wait to watch and then talk about, all these upcoming games. There's a lot to go over, but, huge, massive preview of things. And we're in that season right now. We're in that season. That's going to do it for today and this week's episode of the Premier NBA podcast. This has been Save This Mandix. Thanks for listening, and I will see you next time.